this morning. You can fire me if you want to. We're going to take a one-week sabbatical. Hopefully not many of y'all listen to the news, but it's kind of hard to miss what's been going on in our country lately. Don't know if very many of you know what I'm talking about. Who heard about the Charlie Kirk deal? Everybody, so everybody knows. That's good. Who listened to anything Charlie Kirk had to say? Joe did a couple. he used to come across my feed a lot. I wanted to talk about, because this is a big moment, I would say, for Christianity, in a lot of different ways. The hate speech that was attributed to him, you saw a lot of people celebrating a man's death because he spoke hatefully. And that should scare us, because the hate speech that he was attributed with was Christian values. So now in this country, and I think we've seen, there was a shooting in a church not too long ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then this, I think we are at the point where we kind of have to figure it out, where, if I'm going to be honest, I had a lot of reactions to this. As I imagine some of y'all did, my first reaction was, when it comes to the fight or flight scale, I'm maybe over the top fight. I longed for retaliation because I thought about my kids, and there's a lady who wrote a good couple paragraphs on it, and the gist of it was, you want to teach your kids to be bold in their faith, to be courageous in their faith. Matter of fact, just a month ago, Charlie Kirk was asked if he were to die, what would he want to be known for? And it was courage in his faith. And so you desire to pass those values down to your kids. But as a parent, that's scary now. Right? Because this realization that is now a targeted, not in just one singular instance, but in several instances, that's now a targeted value system. And so my reaction was revenge initially, because I wanted my kids to be in a place that they felt safe. But is that what God called us to? Neither the revenge nor the safe place is what God called us to. And so I struggled with that. Talked to several people about that immensely. Still struggling with it a little bit, because my fight or flight is hardwired fight. For whatever reason, that's how my head goes. And I don't want to be dull in this moment and to bring a Sunday down. I actually want to turn this into encouragement, because what we saw post this incident was a lot of people giving their life to Christ. What seems backwards, because if you're going to proclaim your faith boldly, you're going to be labeled as somebody filled with hate. And there's got to be a lot, there's a lot of work to be done until that flips. I heard a lot of people saying, I talked to Dad about this, said, no, I didn't really feel like I would ever see anything like this in my lifetime. Because as growing up, maybe it's the insulation from Bayfield, Colorado. Mind-blowing. But this happened in Utah, right? So not far away. But one thing I do know, and I've had to remind myself, is all things work for the glory of God, and I think a lot of people have been emboldened by this. And what I want to turn this Sunday into is hopefully y'all have been emboldened by this. Because a natural reaction is to go hide away, right? And to not speak. Because how many mornings have I sat up here and talked about the hateful things that he talks about? And what I would challenge all of y'all to not get caught up, because I think there are going to be some people in the church that are disparaged and that start to believe the lies. And so I want to talk about truth. And the truth is, what's the most loving thing a Christian can do for you? Tell you about God. In the most honest, raw way, what's the most impactful, loving thing that any of us can do for anybody else? Tell them about Christ. That for everybody in this room has had an impact. That hopefully for everybody in this room has redeemed them from certain death. If you're not sharing that news, that's hateful, right? We have this amazing message, this beautiful thing that if you want to spend eternity with somebody and you care and you love as Christ did, who's that message going to be withheld from? How should we speak about that message? Boldly. Boldly. Incredibly boldly. That should be the most invigorating, exciting thing that we have in our whole entire lives, is that out of all this chaos and all the stuff that's going on in the world, we have the exit. It was at the beginning of this curriculum, Kevin had this layout of, man, I always forget one of them. But pretty much you have creation, chaos, and then set aside from all of it, Christ. What brings you out of that chaos is Christ. And I do believe we live in a world that wants a way out. Not everybody, right? But a lot of people are lost right now. Because even the people who didn't agree with his Christian values and his Christian viewpoints, that respected him enough to say, hey, we can have our disagreements, is seeing somebody that spoke openly about what they believe in just get murdered in front of thousands, online in front of millions. That's earth-shattering to not just Christians. That's earth-shattering to humans. And they're looking for something right now. And what's the response? It can't be to go hide. It can't be to tone down what we believe in. We have to speak truth all the time. All the time. Because again, what's the most loving thing you can do? Speak truth. Tell somebody about God. desire for them to be brought out just as you were from all the chaos. Long for them to spend eternity with God, with us. And so I hope amongst all this, because my first reaction, obviously angry, because I'm thinking about my kids and I'm thinking about what they're going to have to grow up in. My second reaction is fear. Because I know I'm not called to act out of my anger and retaliate. So after that dissipates, what happens in my head? Man, I hope my kids don't have to live in a world where they're scared all the time. My third reaction is, man, no matter what, God's got them. And I still have an obligation as a father to teach my kids to speak boldly. I did. Again, we have, for whatever reason, mixed up heavily politics with religion. And what people saw that did not know God was a staunch politician. If you listen to the words coming out of his mouth, it's about God. Why did he oppose abortion? Why did he oppose homosexuality and transgender? And he had very good scientific arguments to some of that. Why did he oppose those things? Because I truly believe he loved people, wanted to bring them out of the chaos that they're in, into relationship with God so that they could have the same fate that he's living out today. Not in the sense that bullets are going to be flying, but in the sense of he is there with God today. I hope this doesn't have the reaction that it was intended, which is silence. I hope that this pushes y'all out of your comfort zone to be bold and to speak, and those people who you have in your life that you know don't want to hear it and you know might reject it, just talk about it and let God work. They're going to go on with it. And some people aren't going to do that in the appropriate manner. What's to ensue, I have no idea. It makes me nervous, if I'm going to be honest. I think oftentimes when something like this happens, you have violence reciprocated in the name of somebody who wasn't. So, that's, and again, also my initial reaction, right? But that wasn't a Christ-like reaction. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, one of the biggest topics, and if I was doing a topic, and I gave a speech on it, which he did openly and was invited to several places, but he got up, and at the end of the speech, known that if you had a disagreement with him, they were the only ones that he listened to. He didn't ask for those that were to promote him or to bring up what he just brought up, but those questions were out and listen to what they had to say and then explain why he was in the difference with their thoughts. And I don't know of anyone that admired that would have opened up the program after speaking on something as to open up with what do you disagree with.
And I want to keep this whole thing about God and to the point of that line of thinking with God. If you're just sitting around patting each other's back and the people in this church building were wrong. Because we should be communicating with people who disagree with us. I'm not worried about Harvey or Henry or Kevin or Amy. I mean, if I'm just reciprocating stuff that's given to me, I'm missing a whole lot of people that need to hear what we have to say. This is a shaky time, a rocky time, but do not go on thinking that this hasn't shaken a lot of people to their core in a manner that means a lot of people are searching for something different. It should not be political. It should not be Donald Trump. It should not be anything else. They're looking for something different, guys. This country has been politically polarized for as long as I've been, I think, 2008, at least. That's as far back as I can remember, so apologies. Since 2008, this country has been politically polarizing. I don't want to feed into that. That's not different. People have been doing that for 17 years. Don't you think people are tired of that? Don't you think people want a way out of that? Because it seems like that's all we can wrap our head around right now. It seems like all the grown-up conversations have to be politics, have to be policy, have to be all these things that when Christ came down, guess what he didn't go after? The Roman government, right? Guess what he did go after? People who needed something, were searching for something, were lost, were sick, were vile sinners just as we are sitting in here today. That knew there was something bigger. That longed for something different. Out of, again, what I can only imagine back then in Christ's time was a polarizing time. You have Romans sitting over a nation of Israel that in many ways is oppressed to an extent we would not enjoy today, right? They had laws about it. We used to have laws about it with the British, and then look what happened, right? This polarizing time when Israel was looking, some of them looking for a way out. How? Politically, through a king who was going to come reestablish a kingdom, make them great and powerful. What did Christ do? He came as a doctor to the sick. Somebody that kids flocked around. Somebody that didn't brush aside anybody. Somebody that met people where they are. Didn't ask them for them to, hey, take a few more steps, get kind of away from all the dirt and grime that you've been living in, and then let's have a conversation. That went into it. There's another guy right now, his name's Bryce Crawford, and he's got zero political anything, but I appreciate him because he goes to the places where people are dressed as Satan, satanic worshipers. Guess what he does? He puts his hands on them and prays for them and rebukes what they're doing. In the most kind, loving manner. And he's got videos everywhere. And in my head I'm thinking, I'm not sure I want to do that. But guys, that's what we're called into. I'm not called into this place where I'm just comfortable and I've got my family and then I come to church on Sunday and then I just have these conversations with people who look pretty uptight and like they're willing to have a conversation that want to speak on an intellectual level. We're called into the dirt, into the grime, into the muck, into the dark alleys where no light's been shown. And then we're called to be a light. If I stand outside and I shine a flashlight, how much help is that? Zero. Don't you think the sun's a little bit brighter than the flashlight? But boy, when I'm in the dark of the woods and it's pitch black and I turn a flashlight on, how much different is that? There are people that we know that we probably holding back conversation from. Out of fear. Fear of what? That's what Satan just put in your head, guys. Christ calls us to act out of love. Again, I'm going to say it over and over and over. What's the most loving thing you can do for somebody? Want them to be in heaven with you. Because any bumps, bruises, junk that we have to deal with down there gets fixed where? In this small blip of a life that we have. Don't you think it's more important to start showing people to the kingdom? I'm not saying don't have political views. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is speak boldly, and if there's one thing you should be remembered by, what should it be? Courage for your faith. Spreading the truth. When it's uncomfortable to have a conversation that needs to be had, have it. Why? Because that's what the Spirit is probably leading you to. You feel that urge to do it, but you stop out of fear, out of discomfort, out of not wanting to push somebody away, and we have this lie that we repetitively tell ourselves. And I tell myself it as well. Well, if I just go talk to them, they're probably going to push me away, and then what help can I be if they don't talk to me anymore? Anybody told yourself that? That's a lie. Because guess what's never going to get accomplished unless you try to shine some light in a dark place? Nothing's ever going to be accomplished, right? Why? Because nobody loves them enough to talk to them about Christ and what He did for you. It doesn't have to be complicated. One of my favorite videos of him going around right now is somebody asks him blatantly in a microphone in his open mics that his title is Prove Me Wrong. He says, why do you believe in God? And his first statement is, because He saved my life. And he said, I can come at this whichever way you want me to do. I can go that there's no archaeological find that's ever disproven the Bible. I can go into the gospel and how He sent His Son and died for us. I can go the spiritual or intellectual way, whichever you want me to go. But what does He start with? He saved my life. How many people sitting there probably got a little bit intrigued when he said that? Whoa, what do you mean he saved your life? How did he save your life? Were you in dire danger and he pulled you out? Or what was going on? No, he saved my life. Why? Because I'm a wicked sinner. And he offered me escape from chaos through Christ his Son. Whew, powerful message, right? Guess what we all have? It doesn't have to be profound in the way you were saved. It doesn't have to be you were tied down to railroad tracks in front of a train and the train was coming and then magically everything. Guys, you know what's more miraculous than that? Cult baptism that we got to see just last week. What's a bigger miracle? That every single time. And so what should we profess out of our mouths when we get into those situations is Christ saved me. Then let's talk about it. You don't have to make up and put together this amazing, profound story. I imagine for a lot of people sitting there that day, the best thing that they could have heard is that Christ saved him. That sparks a lot of curiosity. Don't get bought into the lie that what we do is hate speech. Say it lovingly. There's a way to say it hatefully, right? Don't do that. But at the end of the day, the most loving thing you can do for somebody is show them Christ every single time. The most hateful thing you can do. How much would you have to hate somebody to say, really don't want you in heaven? Yikes, right? Have we ever thought about that sometimes that's what we're saying? That buying into this lie of discomfort and displeasure with speaking these things to somebody who vehemently opposes it. Have we ever thought that that's the most despicable thing that you can do if you wholeheartedly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he sent his Son down to die for us so that we could live in eternity with him? Whew. What should ensue after believing something like that should be boldness. Not fear or embarrassment, but boldness. Because we're called to be as Christ, and Christ was the best example of a loving being we've ever had or ever will have. And he met people where they were at and showed them God. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Be bold. Reflect him well. Have those conversations you've been pushing off for a long time. And trust God with that. A denial of what you say is not denying you. Who's that a denial of? God. We've read that in these stories prior, right? When people start grumbling, Moses is like, hey, you're not grumbling against me. Who are you grumbling against? God. And guess what? God's a big boy. His plan's going to unfold no matter what. Be a willing vessel in that. Be bold in that. Have the conversations that you don't necessarily want to have, that you're scared of having, that you're worried about having, and be bold in those. Because right now, there's a lot of people searching for something different. And they need to hear what we've got to say. They need it. Everybody needs it. Pray for them adamantly that God draws them in and that He opens up their heart. Guys, this is the culmination of everything that we read, everything that we learned about in the Sermon on the Mount. This is being a loving, caring reflector of Christ. I think probably, as I would venture to guess, in the younger generation, the worst thing we do is prayer. I know older generation was a lot more in tune with prayer, and that's something I highly admire and highly respect. How often are we praying for people? I know we have prayer requests, but how often are you opening that relationship to God? How often are you talking to Him? What's a relationship without communication? Are we in constant prayer? Are we constantly inviting God into these things, into these relationships that we have? Are we not saying, hey, Hunter, you got to take this one. Hey, Lord, I'm going to take this one. Are you saying, hey, God, I know this person, and I love him, and I know he is apart from you right now. Lord, will you work in that? How often do you say that? Because I imagine you know enough people that that should be an everyday prayer for somebody. I think nowadays, prayer's kind of been, it's become an intellectual game. I need to be able to debate, I need to be able to answer questions, I need to be able to do X, Y, Z. And I think oftentimes we lose the relationship with God in that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Man, prayer is powerful. That's part of relationship. There's a world, a country, and a whole lot of people that needs prayers. It's easy sometimes to feel like that falls on deaf ears when the answer is no to some of your prayers. Who's been told no in a prayer? 3. Y'all need to start praying for some Powerball tickets over there if you've never been told no. But guys, this is, and I've said it maybe even last week, I feel like we're starting to gather all this information and start to build this really beautiful picture of what it means to be a reflection of God. And I think over the course of this curriculum, we've done a really good job of that. And I think this week just stamps a large, just says bold right across the top of it. Everything that we've been putting in together, everything that we've been learning about and listening to, and all these stories that we've gotten to read, and then the Sermon on the Mount, and how we're supposed to act in this higher calling of, yes, my human, my flesh wants revenge. Yes, it wants this. Yes, it wants to be a coward out of fear, out of, I pray that none of my children experience that. So do I tell them to maybe only have these conversations or these thoughts behind closed doors? Or do I teach them to be bold even though there might be earthly consequences? But I also tell you that there are heavenly consequences, and that's eternity with Christ. That's a pretty amazing heavenly consequence. We've wrapped all this in together. We've talked about it. Y'all have sat in pews for how many years, right? How much information have y'all been able to accumulate over all this time? And if that doesn't equate to boldness and courage in your faith and talking to people even when it's uncomfortable and being strong and not wavering, what are we doing? For the younger people, start now. That's one of the craziest things. Guess how old Charlie Kirk was? 31 years old. He started this thing at 18 years old. I don't know if you're 18. You're sure 18. I would not have been in the right headspace at 18 years old to do that. But don't wait. Start now. You each have conversations on a daily basis with people who I know, because I went to high school, don't believe in God. You're not in high school, but you're at a workplace, and I know those too. Start now. Be bold. One more thing. I think oftentimes as Christians, we like to start with the don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. I think that's backwards. What should we start with? Or the gospel. Or I believe in God because He saved my life. Right? When people hear a laundry list, who else is a touch of a rebel and doesn't like to listen to authority? That's probably most people that you come... Dad's laughing. That's probably most people that you come into contact with, right? If somebody's pushing you, tend to what? Push back. They did a science experiment on this a few years ago. I watched it. And it is actually in a manner of like salesmanship. But when somebody's pushing you on your back, what do? You're like, hey, knock that off. But if someone's walking in front of you and saying, hey, come on, what happens? Most of the time they come on. What are we starting with? Because guys, In your own lives even, there's going to be so much stuff that y'all do that a brother or sister or a wife or a spouse or whatever the case may be is probably saying, hey, you should knock that off, right? So if we're starting with the, hey, you should knock that off, we missed, right? Well, and that's kind of a faith by works, and I'm not going to say that. Right. That's one thing that I would just say reflect Christ well. In what magnitude? Go ahead. When you're following somebody, you're probably reflecting them to some magnitude. Right? I don't follow people that I don't like. Right? Why? Why would you? Unless you're throwing rocks, right? And then what's the point in that? I promise you guys, that there are people even in the town of Bayfield right now that are just lost. Because even if they didn't believe in Christianity or didn't know what they said, a lot of people in this small town believed in some American ideals that have been on blast for a little while. And they're going, well, I obviously can't believe in a country necessarily anymore, because we're starting to look just like a lot of other countries there are out there, with political violence and garbage and trash. Again, chaos. I don't want to sound like I'm not going to dress up in some 4th of July overalls next year. But all we have is chaos. And there's only one out to that. It's not politics, it's not policy, it's Christ. Every single time. And then maybe once people have that at the center of their hearts, then things will start to change. You can't start from the top down. You got to start from the bottom up. Christ started from the bottom up. And that's the best example we have. Thank y'all for being here. Y'all have a great day.